This is Torah 101. Today we are moving forward in the Torah cycle reading to the parasha called Chayei Sarah, which means the life of Sarah. And we're going to drop down in Genesis 23 to verse 19, where we read about the burial of Sarah, who passes on in this parasha. And then we are going to move into the story of Yitzhak and his bride Rivka, Isaac and Rebekah. Verse 19, Genesis 23. Then Avraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah by Mamre, also known as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and its cave had been purchased by Avraham from the sons of Het as a burial site which would belong to him. By now Avraham was old, advanced in years, and Adonai had blessed Avraham in everything. Avraham said to the servant who had served him the longest, who was in charge of all he owned, "Put your hand under my thigh, because I want you to swear by Adonai, God of heaven and God of the earth, that you will not choose a wife for my son from among the women of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but that you will go to my homeland, to my kinsmen, to choose a wife for my son, Yitzhak." Couple of things here. The oath that Avraham causes his servant to enter into involves putting the servant's hand under his thigh. Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra, a very notable medieval scholar on the Torah, believed that this involved the hand of a man entering into an oath, going under the thigh as a man sat on the other man's hand, coming under that man's authority and his weight. Others believe that it was more than that, that Avraham, who had been circumcised, was asking the man to place his hand on the area of circumcision, which is entirely much more of a commitment, I would say. But an oath was being taken here that the servant would not choose a wife for Abraham's son Isaac from among the Canaanites, but he would go back to Abraham's hometown, back in Ur of the Chaldees, and find a wife from among his family, his people. The servant replied, "Suppose the woman isn't willing to follow me to this land. Must I then bring your son back to the land from which you came?" Avraham said to him, "See to it that you don't bring my son back there. Adonai, the God of heaven, who took me away from my father's house and away from the land I was born in, who spoke to me and swore to me, 'I will give this land to your descendants,' he will send his angel ahead of you, and you are to bring a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is unwilling to follow you, then you are released from your obligation under my oath. Just don't bring my son back there." Remember that God had called him to leave that land and his father's house, in other words, his people, his family, to go to the land of Canaan, the land of promise, where the descendants of Abraham would come from, and his descendants would bring a blessing of the God of Israel to the entire world. And Abraham now committed to remaining in the place that God had called him to be, does not want to go back, nor his son to go back. Verse 9, the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and all kinds of gifts from his master, got up and went to Aram Naharim, to Nahor's city. It's Abraham's brother. Toward evening, when the women go out to draw water, he had the camels kneel down outside the city by the well. He said, Adonai, God of my master Abraham, please let me succeed today and show your grace to my master Abraham. So the servant of Abraham begins to pray. And no doubt this was the reason why Abraham trusted him to this degree. I mean, we think of this in today's perspective, how careful men and women are and how long it often takes to search out a spouse. And here, not only is this task being entrusted to the father of the groom, but then the father of the groom entrusts this task to his head worker. So clearly, there was a deep trust in the power of Adonai to do the choosing. Therefore, Isaac himself did not need to be present, nor did his father Abraham need to be present. Such was this faith that they knew that God would do the choosing. What a relinquishment of our human free will to just simply trust God to say, this is the one that I have for you. So the servant begins to pray and he says, here I am, verse 13, standing by the spring as the daughters of the townsfolk come out to draw water. I will say to one of the girls, please lower your jug so that I can drink. If she answers, yes, drink, and I will water your camels as well, then let her be the one you intend for your servant Yitzhak. This is how I will know that you have shown grace to my master. Before he had finished speaking, Rebecca, that is, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her jug on her shoulder. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, never having had sexual relations with any man. She went down to the spring, filled her jug, and came up. The servant ran to meet her and said, please give me a sip of water from your jug to drink. Drink, my lord, she replied, and immediately lowered her jug onto her arm and let him drink. Verse 19, when she was through letting him drink, she said, I will also draw water for your camels until they have drunk their fill. And she quickly emptied her jug into the trough, then ran again to the well to draw water and kept on drawing water for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence, waiting to find out whether Adonai had made his trip successful or not. And when the camels were done drinking, The man took a gold nose ring, weighing 1/5 of an ounce, and 2 gold bracelets weighing 4 ounces, and asked, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, born to Nahor," adding, "We have plenty of straw and fodder and room for staying overnight." The man bowed his head and prostrated himself before Adonai. Then he said, "Blessed be Adonai, God of my master Avraham, who has not abandoned his faithful love for my master, because Adonai has guided me to the house of my master's kinsmen." And the girl ran off and told her mother's household what had happened. So the servant is just amazed and full of joy. You can hear it in him. That God had led him to just the perfect girl for Abraham's son, Yitzhak. It tells us that we can trust God for the details. And if we will actively seek Him for His perfect will, that when the time is right, He will open the right door and connect us to exactly what He wants for us, whoever, whatever it might be. Not just marriage, but it is definitely about marriage and how God will lead you to the right person if you will let Him and open your heart and surrender your will to His will. Verse 29, Rivka had a brother named Lavan. When he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists besides, and when he heard his sister Rivka's report of what the man had said to her, he ran out to the spring and found the man standing there by the camels. "Come on in," he said. The Talmud teaches that Laban was ultimately interested in the wealth that this man might have, and you'll see this sort of preoccupation with deal making and kind of being a man of slippery intent later on in the story of Jacob. But of course, he invites the servant of Abraham in. "Come on in. You whom Adonai has blessed, why are you standing outside when I have made room in the house and prepared a place for the camels?" So the man went inside, and while the camels were being unloaded and provided straw and fodder, water was brought for him to wash his feet and the feet of the men with him. But when a meal was set before him, verse 33, he said, "I won't eat until I say what I have to say." Lavan said, "Speak." So the servant of Abraham begins to reiterate to them the story of how he came there and what Abraham had said and the oath that he had taken. And after he finishes in verse 49, "So now," he says, "if you people intend to show grace and truth to my master, tell me. But if not, tell me so that I can turn elsewhere." Lavan and Bethuel replied, "Since this comes from Adonai, we can't say anything to you, either bad or good. Rivka is here in front of you. Take her and go. Let her be your master's son's wife, as Adonai has said." And when Abraham's servant heard what they said, he prostrated himself on the ground to Adonai. Then the servant brought out silver and gold jewelry together with clothing and gave them to Rivka. He He also gave valuable gifts to her brother and mother. He and his men then ate and drank and stayed the night. In the morning they got up and he said, "Send me off to my master." Her brother and mother said, "Let the girl stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she will go." He answered them, "Don't delay me. Since Adonai has made my trip successful, but let me go back to my master." They said, "We will call the girl and see what she says." And they called Rivka and asked her, "Will you go with this man?" And she replied, "I will." So they sent their sister Rivka away with her nurse, Avraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rivka with these words, "Our sister, may you be the mother of millions, and may your descendants possess the cities of those who hate them." Another prophetic word about the future Jewish people, that they would be hated, the descendants of Rebekah and Isaac, but that the Jewish people would continue to thrive. And that's what this expression means, possess the cities of those who hate them. I think about the cities in modern day Israel, like Ashkelon and Ashdod. These were the primary cities of the Philistines, the ancient people who were the arch enemies of Israel. And now both Ashdod and Ashkelon are thriving Israeli cities in all that region. Thriving. It's prophetic that the Jewish people would inhabit the cities of their enemies. And I think in a general sense, it has been proven true that although the enemies are gone, whether it be the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans, the Greeks, those empires have ceased and the Jewish people continue to thrive. Verse 61, then Rivka and her maids mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rivka and went on his way. Meanwhile, Yitzhak, one evening, after coming along the road from Be'er Lachairoi, he was living in the Negev, went out walking in the field, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rivka too looked up, and when she saw Yitzhak, she quickly dismounted the camel. And she said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" And when the servant replied, "It's my master," she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Yitzhak everything he had done. And then Yitzhak brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rivka, and she became his wife. And he loved her. Thus was Yitzhak comforted for the loss of his mother. This is Torah 101 Daily.